Christians, I among them, believe that Jesus died for the whole world. At the same time, Jews don't claim Jesus as their Messiah. But as I read the Bible, God clearly made promises to the Jews that have not been broken by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God also made promises to the ancestors of people who call themselves Muslim. Those promises we don't believe God has broken either. So clearly the other Abrahamic faiths have access to God the Father without consciously going through Jesus.
What have I done to deserve this?
Welcome to Faith and Reason, the apologetics, Christian-based apologetics show, where we answer difficult questions about Christianity. We expose the errors of such things as atheism, Roman Catholicism, evolution, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, New Age, Islam, and various other religious and secular systems. Why? Because Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and life. And if you don't receive him as your Savior, you're lost and you're in trouble on the Day of Judgment. Hey everybody, how you doing? Faith and Reason time, and I am your host, Matt Slick. Okay, I'm fixing my headset here. There's a little short in it. There we go. All right, now it's sounding stereo-ish. Hey, it's Friday for the podcasters. That is October 7th, and I'm teaching a Bible study tonight at 7:30 in Nampa. If any of you are interested, I tell you what. If you're interested, go on out. Let me tell you this. If you are, well, if you want to get challenged, be shown how much you don't know, maybe get a little bit irritated with a smile on your face at the same time, then this Bible study would be for you. All right? Because I'm telling you, we go through stuff in the Scriptures, and I tell people things that the Bible says that a lot of people don't agree with, and that's what it says. We take tangents sometimes, so if you like to be a little bit irritated, want to be challenged, want to learn, and don't mind listening to Reverend Slick, well then, hey, tonight at 7:30, all you got to do is go out the freeway to exit 36 out there in Nampa. Go north 3/4 mile. On the left-hand side is the Crossing Church. I'll be there at 7:30 tonight. You know, I'm from Southern California. Moved up here 7 years ago. Idaho's great. The people are great. Love Idaho. And let me tell you, you know, when you live in 25 million, population of 25 million people, you drive quickly, you get things done quickly, and driving for 20 minutes to go someplace is nothing. That's what you do. Hey, where are you going to go? I'm going to go across the street. So it takes you a half hour to drive because it's so crowded, okay? And that's just what you do. Now, here it's not like that, but people, I remember when we first moved up here, my wife and I, and we were talking about, we were living in Nampa, and we're in Boise, and someone, you know, we're talking, a native here, and we said, yeah, we live out in Nampa, and they, you drove all the way from Nampa to come here? Yeah. That's 20 minutes. We chuckled. So remember that. Hey, so anyway, it's only no big deal. 20 minutes-ish anywhere, and you can get to it if you want. And if you want to call tonight, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Feel free to give me a call. And if you want to get in via Skype, just type in Faith and Reason with no spaces. Faith and Reason with no spaces. You should be able to get in. No problemos. All right, let's get to Daniel from Denver. Hey, Daniel from Denver. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going. What do you got?
Hey,
what's up?
Yeah, so it's funny. I never thought I would really call in, but I just got done talking to a Jehovah's Witness on the street.
Okay.
And he's actually this homeless guy who is always right outside my building when I'm leaving work. So today I just decided to say hey, and then he was kind of saying some stuff. He mentioned a Bible study, and I was like, oh, cool, what is it about? And, you know, he told me. I was like, oh, man. So I was just trying to kind of, I don't know, talk to him about it. And it was very interesting because, you know, I know I've heard, you know, I've gotten a lot of information from your show about what it's about, and I've done a little bit of research online.
Okay.
I don't know, I guess I don't have a solid question, but he was just saying things like, you know, as long as I don't hate, then, you know, I can go before God and say, forgive me, you know, and that's what's going to save me. Because I asked him the question, what are you going to say to God when you're right in front of him, and he says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" He's like, I'm just going to say, "Forgive me." And I'm going to say, well, how can he? You know, what's he going to do? How can he just do that? And, you know, he didn't really have an answer for me, but he also wasn't making the connection that it was, you know, illogical.
Did you know that hate is good?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was talking about, like, what about in the Old Testament when God, you know, and he's like, no, God hates, you know, he mentioned God hating the sinner, the sin, not the sinner, and God, he only, yeah, so basically that's right. Anger, not hatred. That's how he said it.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But God is good, we know that, and God hates, so therefore we can say that the hatred of God is good, couldn't we?
Right, and, you know, I know they change their translations and stuff, so
yeah,
I'm like trying to be like, well, what about when he hates Esau? And, you know, I'm sure that's just not in their Bible, but it was just really...
Let me get some scriptures here, because I know that people who might be listening, driving down the road, might be going, what? This is what Psalm 5:5 says. It says, "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You do hate all who do iniquity." It doesn't say you do hate the iniquity. It says you hate all who do iniquity. That's what it says, Psalm 5:5. Psalm 11:5, "The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence his soul hates." So God hates the one who loves violence. So that's what the word is, and that's it. So, and God is good, so therefore that kind of hatred is a good thing. We should also hate violence. And now, we have to be careful because we don't want to, you know, be teaching that we hate everybody all the time. We don't do that.
Sure.
But this is what God is saying. Now, God knows people's hearts perfectly, and he's the righteous judge, so he can do what he wants. I can't see the reflection. Let's see, what was that last reference? Oh, Psalm 11:5. Psalm 11:5. Psalm 5:5 and Psalm 11:5. And so, you know, people will, let me give you a pointer. Okay, now, you need to learn a little logic and also learn, you know, learn what they teach, and it'll help you. But when someone makes a statement, think about the statement that's being made. Are they saying something that is accurate? I'm always saying to people, what are your definitions? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? For example, people will say that Calvinists deny free will. And then I'll hear these arguments. I'm going, wait a minute, define your term. What do you mean by free will? What do you mean by Calvinist? Yeah. What do you mean? You know, and people just make these assertions. What I'll do is I'll ask questions, and I do this a lot. Well, what do you mean by this? Because that's how you clarify things. So when he says God, you know, God hates or doesn't hate, well, what do you mean by this hatred? It's a dead serious question. I've had Christians tell me, no, when God says he hates somebody, it means he loves them less.
Oh.
You know? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That's what it means? You know, how do I, you know, I'll ask him politely. Well, it sounds to me like you're kind of like changing what the word means. Is there a reason you're doing that? You know, try and be polite with them. But ask for definitions. It's one of the most important things you can do. And you'll be surprised at how easier discussions will be.
Right. So, do you know off the top of your head if those translations are how they will be in a, you know, Watchtower Bible?
No, I don't. Not the top of my head. I have to see it.
Okay.
I don't have an NWT with me. Just haven't gotten on. Haven't had to really discuss the issue. It's Mormonism is a lot more prevalent around where I'm at. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, what they do something different. See, what the J-Dubs do, they just go door to door to keep to themselves, even when they go door to door. So if they go to someone's door and knock on it, and the person's not interested, they just leave. That's it. You know, might say, well, you want some literature? No, thank you, bye. Good. And all they're looking for is anybody.
Like can't change their mind.
Right. All they're looking for is people who might be interested in what they have to say. And that's all they're interested in. So they're not into real debate. They're not into real discussions. They are very brainwashed. Very brainwashed. The Watchtower magazine, The System, is a very good example of brainwashing. Seriously, it is. But, you know, so that's why you don't see as much, in my opinion, that's why you don't see as much interaction. I'd love to have Jehovah's Witnesses come in the studio here and discuss Scripture with me. Some of them are really clever, though, how they do things. They'll take shades of meanings of a word. They'll find a commentary someplace in 1930 written by so-and-so, and then they'll say, see, this is what this means, so what do you think of that, Matt? You know, they'll do things like that and like, whoa, dude, hey, man, I got to study it for what? You don't know everything? You know, sometimes they're like that, and it can be quite difficult to deal with them. It takes time to research what they're saying. There's a batch of J-dubs that is growing like that, but for the most part, they don't do they don't do that. They just repeat whatever the Watchtower tells them to think and say.
Right, and I mean, this guy, you know, even though he's a homeless guy, he's like, he's, you know, well-read. He's very smart, and he was just spouting off all his research, and I was like, I mean, I don't really know, but it doesn't really sound right to me. And, you know, he says when they do their kind of apologetic type stuff that they use an NIV, and then I was like, well, yeah, but things are different. And he was like, yeah, but not very much, just little things. I was like, yeah, but, you know, John 1:1, and he's like, oh, yeah, John 1:1, and, you know, he knew that. That there were differences like that, and I just, the firstborn of creation, you know, not actually begotten, he was created, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I just got kind of frustrated. I didn't know what to say, and I didn't.
Use it as an opportunity for you to plug the holes of where ignorance is. See, ignorance is just what you don't know. It's nothing there. It's a hole. It's a hole in your knowledge base. So now you know where some holes in your knowledge base is, so go plug them. Go into Karm and do some reading. Go to a Christian bookstore, get some books on it, whatever it is. But, you know, like the issue of Firstborn, John 1:1, whatever it is. You go on Karm. I discuss these things. But, you know, just do a little bit of studying. And then go out and talk to the guy again.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully I'll be seeing him more, because I generally see him every day as I'm leaving. But, I just, it seems hard once, you know, he's just accepted this version so, you know, wholeheartedly that I just don't know what and I know I can't do anything. It's really ultimately got to be God, but,
You want to know why people will believe that stuff? There's several reasons, but largely it's because the J-dubs got to them first. A lot of times...
That's exactly what I was thinking,
It just got to them first.
He said he was researching... Yeah, he said he was researching all these religions, and he's like, why are they all different? Why are they all saying all this stuff? And then he got all this weird stuff about Constantine starting Christianity and making it, you know, the Catholic Bible and all weird, you know.
Yeah, that's what the J-dubs will say.
He wanted it to say.
Right, yeah. They're feeding him false information. So what happens is people generally, when a cult comes around, they have a need, and so, you know, emotional need, maybe they've gone through a trauma, maybe something's going on, maybe they're just curious about God, bang, bang, bang on the door. And so they go up, and the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses are there, and they'll tell them what they want to hear, what they need to hear, and they're trained to how, in the manner of being able to get a person to listen, because they're taught how to do this. And you know, it happens, and people don't know. People at the doors they don't know. Most people, they have no clue what the Bible really teaches. So they got somebody saying, yeah, there was an apostasy, and Joseph Smith is the one who restored the gospel. Or there was an apostasy, and Charles Taze Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, was the one who restored the gospel. You know, there has to be an apostasy, and there has to be a restoration. And then they are the ones, their prophet or their prophetess or their whatever it is the ones who have revealed the lost gospel. That's the formula for starting a cult. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Baha'i, Christadelphianism, they teach the same basic thing. There's variations, but that's just the basic. There's apostasy. Our person brought it back.
Yeah, and I mean, I just was fascinated by him saying that, you know, hatred is kind of the one sin that, he said, I've never hated anybody in my life. I'm like, well, I doubt that, but anyway, you know, it's like, I asked him, have you looked at a woman, Leslie? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you committed adultery right there, so why should God let you into heaven? He's like, well, and he just basically was like, well, it wasn't as bad as hatred, and I, you know, God will...
Well, that's not the issue. It's not the issue of as bad. The issue is, and you've done it, and you're a lawbreaker. So now God's got to judge you. Do you want him to ignore his holy, righteous law on you? Or do you want him to carry it out? And just put the law on. Now, here's what I do with the cults, and I do it with every religious system. I do it with Islam. I do it with Roman Catholics. I do it with Mormons. I do it with Jehovah's Witnesses. Doesn't make any difference which group, because as long as they're not Christian, they don't have salvation by grace through faith. They have salvation by grace through faith and works. And you just remember that. So just ask them, what do you got to do to go to heaven? Ask them all. What do you got to do to... And with a group, you know, the J-Dubs will say, well, no, not heaven, but paradise earth, because Jesus only died for the 144,000, and they go to heaven, but the paradise earth people are the faithful Jehovah's Witnesses. And say, well, so what do you got to do to go to paradise earth? Well, you got to be good, follow the law. Oh, are you doing that? And then, you know, it's the same questions. So are you keeping the law? No, we're trying. Oh, so you don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I even said, like, well, if Jesus isn't God, how could he have paid for any more than one man's sin?
Well, they say that, you know, Jesus, like, only died for the sins of Adam, that where Adam closed. Yeah, there's some conflicting information, what I've gotten from them. But they say he died to undo the damage that Adam did, but Jesus only atoned for the 144,000.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, is like, if Jesus isn't God, then how... If he isn't an infinite person, how could he atone for more than one person's sin? You know?
That's a good question to ask him.
Yeah, and that guy, he didn't really get it. I was like, well, okay, if a judge says, you know, there's 20 people who committed murder, and the judge's son says, I'll take their spot, would the judge be just in, you know, sending just his son for all 20 of them?
Right.
And the guy was like, yeah. I was like, no, what do you mean?
Well, so, you know, there's a great... deception going on, and there's a lack of discernment inside the Christian church as well as out. You're just dealing with, well, the sadness of the lack of critical thinking, the brainwashing, the spiritual deception. All of it is so, it's like a tidal wave, like a tsunami of lies, and people are just swept up in it and move along. And the only way to do this is to study. Study truth, study logic, yeah. Study scripture, study and memorize and do the best you can in the presence of God as you're witnessing, okay? That's all you can
do. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Sure.
That helped.
Well, God bless.
Okay. Yeah, God bless you too.
All right. Hey, folks, that was Daniel from Denver. And if you got a call, you got a question, just call me up. The number is 877-207-2276. We got no callers waiting. We got nothing waiting. So what I'm going to do is jump into the hate mail. It's Friday. We're doing the hate mail. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a little mellow right now, a little calm. And maybe the hate mail. Yeah, I could use coffee. Oh, I could use coffee. That's right. But what? You want to give me a little, a quarter cup? Just put, is it coffee, or is it the instant? Is it already made? It's already made? If you want to pour me a cup, I'll have some with a little sugar, little cream of sugar, sure. Okay, just a little bit, and I'll suck it down real fast. We'll see. Candace is going to make me some coffee. She's so sweet. And so, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm tired. I've been having trouble sleeping lately. I had a bad dream last night, woke me up, and I got up early in the whole bit. Oh, man. Get the violin out. Hey, so maybe the hate mail will energize me. Let's see what happens. This is what it says. Now, here's the hate mail. I love hate mail. Hate mail's good. Hate mail's fun. He says this. I am here to answer some of your questions because I believe that all of you are simply bigoted, unintelligent beings who wish to sound nice up front, but who want to continue to throw salt in the wounds of everyone your ignorance has harmed. Now that is a good hate mail. That's good. I'm going to read this again. I am here to answer some of your questions because I believe that you are simply bigoted, unintelligent beings who wish to sound nice up front, but who want to continue to throw salt in the wounds of everyone your ignorance has harmed. I think when I read it like that, I think it's a lot more entertaining, and I think it's better. You know, if you say, if you read it like, everyone, your ignorance is harmed, nah, you got to say, put salt in the wounds of everyone your ignorance has harmed. I'm not very theatrical, but it's more fun on the radio. He goes, there's what he says. He goes, look, because it's about Wicca. It says, I asked a question, do the gods and goddesses of Wicca actually exist? Because, folks, what they teach in Wicca which is a form of witchcraft, is what you do is, you know, you have these gods, you have these goddesses, you can pick which ones you want to serve. Do they really exist or do they not really exist? Or you just create one in your mind, whatever it is. This is the kind of thing. So I asked a question in my literature on Karm. Do the gods and goddesses of Wicca actually exist? Here's the answer. Much like your god Yahweh, they don't exist. So he's just saying the God of the Bible doesn't exist. But anyway, we'll let that go for now. But it is the teachings and the togetherness, they harbor, that holds power. So wait a minute. So the gods and goddesses don't exist, but it's the teaching and the togetherness they harbor that holds power. So how do the things that don't exist have teachings and togetherness that they do the harboring of? I don't know. Am I thinking too logically? Am I thinking too critically? He's denying that they don't exist. He's saying they don't exist. They don't exist. But it's the teaching that they harbor that holds power. So how does something that doesn't exist hold power? Oh, the teachings that they harbor, but they don't exist. This is the Wiccan. This is it. This is an answer. Okay, he goes on. Together, all people following this have something to believe in and get behind if their situations ever arise. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Huh? Let me try that again. I got to make sense of this. Okay, here comes the coffee. Oh, and a KBXL 94.1 coffee. That's a whole bunch of coffee. Okay, thanks. Thanks. That's nice of her. Okay, let's see. Boy, could I use a hamburger right now? Uh-oh. See the look? Okay. Here we go. He says, together, all people following this, following what? The teachings and togetherness? The power in the teachings and togetherness of the things that don't really exist. Okay, together, all the people following this, the teachings and the togetherness of the things that don't exist, have something to believe in, but they don't exist. So they're believing in what doesn't exist, but no, they're teaching the teachings of the things or that harbored by the things that don't exist are what you need to believe in. And get behind if the situations ever arise. Notice how he says the situations. Great. What situations? What situations are you talking about? Is it a guy or a girl? Let me go down to the bottom of the email. This is good stuff. Oh, my goodness. Look at all these answers. It's from nobody. There's no answer. Anonymous person. Okay. All right. He goes on. I'm going to say he. He says, it's as simple as that. It's just as simple as that, folks. It's as simple as just having something to believe in. That's all. It's important. Just believe it. As long as you're sincere, as long as you believe in something, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if what you believe in is false. It doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. Okay, let's go on. He says, here's a question I asked. If they actually exist, how do you know they exist? And he says, how do you know your God exists? Now, this is not an answer. If they actually exist, this is about your being. Okay? But he doesn't, this drives me crazy. You know, I ask a question. Hey, do they actually exist? How do you know yours exists? Okay, you want the cosmological argument? You want the ontological argument? You want the teleological argument? You want the transcendental argument? You want the moral argument? Which one do you want? Okay? But what do they have? They don't have anything because their gods don't exist. They're admitting they don't exist. But he said, how do you know your God does? Take your hand, put it in front of your face, look to your left, and do me a favor, slap yourself upside the head. Okay, here we go. He goes on, how do you know, how do you know your God exists? The truth which is undeniable is that you have absolutely no clue if your God exists or not. It's an undeniable truth that I have no clue that my God exists or not. How do you have a clue? Now, check this out. The truth is undeniable, so you can't deny a truth. What's a truth? A truth is that which comports with reality. It's true, then, that I have absolutely no clue if my God exists or does not exist. Now, wait a minute. How do you have a clue something does not exist? Shouldn't you have a clue that something does exist, not does not exist? Hey, Bob.
Yeah?
Hey, I found some clues. You did? Yeah. You know what they're for? What? They're for things that don't exist. I got clues about things that don't exist. Well, that's amazing. What do they look like? I don't know. They're just clues. They don't exist. See, it doesn't make any sense what this guy's saying. The truth, which is undeniable, is that you have absolutely no clue if your God exists or not. Well, actually, I do. The resurrection of Christ, the eyewitness accounts of the person of Jesus Christ, what he's done, and the accurately transmitted Bible documents to now. I got, like I said, the other arguments that God exists, etc., etc. But at any rate, that's irrelevant here because it's an undeniable truth, so I can't deny it. I can't. Or can I deny it? Could I deny what he thinks? Hey, I can. So his statement again is wrong. I can deny it. Okay. You have a book that is supposedly his word, but the book itself was written hundreds of years, and in some cases thousands of years after the fact, and is limited by mortal imperfections. We call this begging the huge question. Written hundreds of years, and in some cases thousands of years after the fact. Yeah, brother. Oh, what do you do with this kind of ignorance? What do you do? I mean, I could look at the guy straight in the face. No, that's not accurate. The New Testament documents were written by the eyewitnesses, not hundreds of years afterwards. He would say, no, you're wrong. I said, no, you're wrong. He said, no, you're wrong. I said, no, you're wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah. And that's what we're going to do, okay? They're not interested in facts. Oh, man. You know, it's so sad to hear of ignorance, stupidity, bigotry, just being so common in society today. It's not just in emails like this, but with homosexuals, with the liberals, with the atheists, with the agnostics, with people who can't think their way out of a white paper heresy. They don't know what's going on. Oh, man. Oh, so much heresy, so little time. Let me go on to the next point. I asked his question, and he's responding to these things in the email. I asked, if your tradition contradicts the tradition of another Wiccan, can they both be objectively true? Now, that's a good logical question. If what you believe contradicts what another Wiccan believes, can they both be true? Here's his response. Can you tell me that there are not multiple traditions in Christian religions? Open your blind eyes. So, see, that would be a good question or good answer to a question that was like this. Hey, I really don't think there's multiple traditions in Christian religion. Then that would be a good answer. Can you tell me that there are not multiple traditions in Christian religions? Open your blind eyes. That would be an appropriate response to that question. See, if I ask a question like, if your tradition contradicts another tradition, can they both be objectively true? This is the issue dealing with contradictory truths based out of the second law of logic, the law of non-contradiction. Can they both be true if you have contradictory truth statements? And he says, look at your traditions in Christianity. Open your blind eyes. It's a non-answer. Sometimes I'll do that with my kids and occasionally with my wife. I'll ask a question. You know, I'll say, so, hey, did you take your trash out? Did my kids take your trash out? Hey, today's Tuesday. I'll go, let me ask you another question then. Did you take a trash out? But it's Tuesday. Okay. How about you save that answer for when I ask, what day is it? It's Tuesday. That would work. But let me ask you another question. And they go, Dad, what? I'm asking another question. Did you take a trash out? Why don't you give me an answer? You know, why do you have to go through this all the time? I'm sure your kids aren't like that. Your kids don't give you answers that don't relate to the question. Oh, I do in the slick household. Man, you had to clean your room up? I'm hungry. Hey, did you, did you turn the water off in the bathroom? Hey, my shoes are dirty. Hey, did you read your Bible last night? Oh, man, that's a hamburger. See, those are called non-answers to the questions. If your tradition contradicts the tradition of another Wiccan, can they both be objectively true? Can you tell me there are not multiple traditions in Christian religion? Okay, let's go on to the next one. How do you feel about believing in the religious system where you cater your religion to your desires. And that's my question. How do you feel about believing in it in the religious system where you cater your religion to your desires? That's what Wicca does. Seriously, that's what they teach, that you pick what you want to believe in inside of Wicca. You just pick it. What do you want? That's what you get. You want to serve a god? You serve a god. You want to serve a goddess? Pick a goddess. You want to serve five goddesses? Then serve five goddesses. If you don't want to believe in a goddess, don't believe in a goddess. What do you want? You want to worship trees? Go worship trees. No, I'm a bush worshiper. I like bushes. I like the ones with the prickly little things on them, the little bushes with little flowers on them. You can't be over 3 feet high, otherwise I feel inferior. I like short bushes. What are you into? Oh, I'm into Gaia, the mother goddess of the planet. And I go out in the woods, and what I do is I light candles. And then I go like this. And I do that, and then I get in tune with the divine Gaiousness of the Mother Earth. What do you do? Oh, you know what I do? I like snakes. So I look at snakes. That's how I worship. See, this is what's going on. Man, the deception is incredible. Okay, so remember, I asked, hey, how do you feel about believing in the religious system where you cater your religion to your desires? Not all Wicca is like this. Once again, your biased opinions show through making me laugh at your pathetic sight. Not all Wicca is like that. Well, actually, that is what Wicca is. That's what it is. That's what Wicca teaches, that you desire and that you develop a system based on what you like. You join the Wiccan tradition that suits you. That's what it is. He said that's not all what Wicca is. Well, I didn't say that. But anyway, he goes on. Once again, your biased opinions show through making me laugh at your pathetic sight. So, now get this. Once again, your biased opinions, that's what he's saying, so my biased opinions show through making me laugh at your pathetic sight. Now, he doesn't have punctuation in here. So that my opinions show through his laughing? Or he's saying, your biased opinions, comma, show through making me laugh, that my biased opinions make him laugh? Or does he say, my biased opinions show through, comma, making me laugh at your pathetic sight? You know, sometimes people have emailed me and like it's like a, I don't know, 120 words, one long run-on sentence, and I write them back, I have no clue what you're saying. Please use punctuation next time when you talk to me. You know, like, this is a sentence. Period. That kind of, you know, punctuation. Hey, he goes on. He says, I said this. I asked another question. Is Wicca able to be shown to be false, or is it all non-falsifiable ideas? Now, let me explain what that is. Falsifiability. You see, basically, truth statements are falsifiable. They can be shown to be true or false. That's how, you know, something relates with reality. You know, like my left hand right now, I'm holding the cup of coffee that Candace brought to me. Thank you, Candace. And it's still hot. I got to wait till it kind of cools down a little bit. And so I'm holding it. Okay. Can it be falsified? Yeah, it can be shown to be false in that it's a possibility of being false by looking and observing to see. You know, it doesn't mean it is false in the condition. It means it has the condition that it is able to be tested. That's what it's basically saying. Okay. So you could test it to be verified or test it to be non-verified. Okay. So I ask, is Wicca able to be shown to be false, or is it all non-verifiable ideas? That's what I actually wrote, not falsifiable, but non-verifiable. He wrote this, what can you prove of the divine in Christianity? Notice this is not an answer to the question. It's not dealing with the issue of Wicca. What can you prove of the divine in Christianity? What does that mean? What can you prove of the divine? What does that mean? Someone asked me that in a debate, I'd say, can you clarify what you're saying? What are you asking? What are you asking when you say, what can you prove of the divine in Christianity? What does that mean? I don't know what it means. I'm serious. I don't know. Maybe you know what it means. I don't know. Maybe you're Wiccan. I don't know. Anyway, furthermore, how do you prove that any single individual has actually encountered God? Well, there's ways to prove it. One, on the Day of Judgment, when you encounter God, that's one way to prove it. The other one, basically, you know, I would just say, look, proof is for mathematics and logic when it's in the context of what we're talking about. And so he's just really not dealing with the ideas. We're not talking about proof. Is something verifiable? Can you test it? He goes on. Oh, I ask another question. I ask this question. I ask, hold on, I'm going to check something here. All right. I hope no one's getting bored with the hate mail. If you guys like the hate mail, let me know. Because I don't want to bore anybody. I'm just talking, doing monologuing. Maybe you're liking it. Maybe, I don't know. No one calls. If you want to call and say, hey, I like the hate mail, keep it coming. That's all right. But I'm going to do it because I like hate mail. I enjoy it. I asked this question in the continuing of this email that this guy is full of non-answers. Here we go. If your spells and incantations produce results, how do you know that the power behind the result is good or not? Here's his response. How do you know that your God is good? Notice, folks, the non-response. He says this. In the Bible, your God has even given support to eradicating entire cities, its followers instigated the Crusades, nearly committed genocide to the Jews as well as Native Americans, and last but not least, terribly tortured the practitioners of Wicca. Okay. So that had nothing to do with the question. Nothing to do. Nothing at all to do with the question. Hey, Bob, did you park the car? I put underwear on. Hey, Bob, did you get stuck in the traffic on the way home today? Hey, look, there's a goat. See, these are called non-answers. That, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? I got some more. Look at this. Great. How do you know that there is not something more sinister behind Wicca? That's what I ask. Here's a response. Because we believe, much like you do in your false idols. What? Because we believe, much like you do in your false idols. So you believe in my false idols, but I don't have any false idols. I don't have any idols. An idol is a physical construction you have that you bow down before and worship. I don't have any of that. And then he's saying what I believe is false, but because so he's admitting what he believes in is false, because we believe, like you do, in your false idols. Wait a minute, so you're admitting you believe in false idols? Doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. Take your hand and put it in front of your face and slap yourself upside the head. There's two more things to read. We're going to get to the hate mail comment from John. John, you there? Hey, John.
Hey, man, you don't even know what about the weekend. You know, I just want to call you and tell you I'm enjoying the email.
Are you? Yeah, I don't know, because no one says he... I don't know if I'm boring him or not. So.
No, you don't bore nobody. You just don't know.
So, hey, John, let me ask you a question, man.
Do it.
Did you get...
Huh? Don't ask me how they get the nonstick coating to stick to the pan. I don't know that one.
Hey, did you get that TV show?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
They just kind of dropped the ball, and they couldn't sell it to a network, so it just kind of fell by the wayside.
Oh, you didn't tell me you knew me, did you?
I did, and I think that might have been it.
That definitely was it. Now, folks, this is John, a friend of mine, and he almost got, well, kind of was in the process of having a show on TV doing barbecue stuff, because he's pretty good at it. So.
Men with meat.
I think you should be called. I think it's the problem with that title. I think it should be called something like the Manly Carnage Fest. Now that would be a show that I would watch.
Yeah, like a campfire with like loincloths and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. You know, in order to have the barbecue. You know, everyone's got to show up in a loincloth. I'm not saying that you'd look good in that, but, you know, you got to do that. And then you got your choice. That'd be kind of fun. You get your choice. Wait a minute. You're just given some meat. You're given some spices. You're given some tools, some rocks and a twig, and you got to cook something, you know.
Yep.
You know, and call it the carnage fest, and then you get to do it right, you know, second time. And they get, you get to eat each other's carnage stuff that you, and they get to mock each other. That'd be great. That'd be a great show because you know each other would rip each other apart. Man, this tastes like it was hit by a grill on a freeway, you know.
Bring me a whole cow, I'll carve off what I want, and I'll ride the rest home.
That's right. That's right.
Well, anyway, dude, I want to keep you. I just wanted to call. I hadn't called in a while, and you seem kind of lonely, and I just wanted to reach out.
Thanks. Hey, John, what's 2 + 2?
Matt, don't ask no trick questions. You're always tricking me all the time. I don't appreciate it.
That's right.
All right, man. Have a good weekend. God bless.
You too. God bless. We call this non-answer day. I ask a question, you don't give me an answer to the question. You got to ask something else. Hey, what's 2 + 2? Hey, socks. Okay. Oh. People, you know, my wife will ask me a question. She'll come home. How's your day? Good. Yeah, that was it. I'm done. Yeah. Hey, did you talk? You know, I asked my wife, did you listen to me on the radio? I was chopping. So did you listen to me on the radio? She said, she'll go, no, I wasn't. Oh, okay. Now, I got the answer that time. Because you could have a phone. You could be listening over the radio. You could, you know, hey, did you listen to me on the radio today? I was shopping. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that. I'm going to get in trouble for saying what my wife said. Oh, I'm in trouble now. I appreciate you, honey. I appreciate you. I love you. You know that. Oh, I'm getting myself in trouble. Hey, I'll go back to the email. Okay. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Why do you think that rituals dealing with candles, this is my question, why do you think that rituals dealing with candles, knives, and such are able to affect nature? Here's his response. Science is proven. Science is proven. Okay, he goes on. Science is proven, while your religion is nothing more than some random babbling. Oh, this is great. Oh, science is proven, while your religion is nothing more than some random babbling of old men hundreds of years after the supposed stories happened. That's what it's, that's it. Science has proven that my... my religion is nothing more than random babblings of old men. Hey, sonny, I'm going to ramble. I'm going to babble. I'm going to just talk random. Ready? Hey, grass. Grass and underwear. Hey, honey, can you make me a cow? Hey, random babbling. It's a random babbling. How do you randomly babble? You can babble. I can hear. I'll babble. See, I'm babbling now because I'm talking about something. I'm just babbling about what I'm not talking about because I'm just babbling. Hey, waters. You know, I'm randomly now babbling because water, pencil. You know, randomly babbling. Hey, squirrel. You know, I'm randomly now babbling. So that's what he's saying. Your religion is nothing more than some random babbling of old men. Of old men. I guess that's derogatory. I don't know. So, my religion, Christianity, is nothing more than the random babblings of old men hundreds of years after the supposed stories happened. As he says, science has proven that. That's what he's getting at. Science has proven. Well, your religion, how do you have science prove that Christianity is just some random babblings of old men? Okay, Bob, we've got the microscope, we've got the electron accelerator, we've got the telescope, and we've got the scale. Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready, Frank. Okay, we're going to now prove that Christianity is random babbling of old men. Okay, are you ready? All right, let's weigh the old men. Oh, wait, we don't have any old men. From hundreds of years. Okay, that's not going to work. Okay, we need the random babbling machine. We have to analyze random babbling. Well, where is it? It's in the closet. Go get it. Random babbling machine. Hey, that's random babbling. He goes on. This was done to cover their tracks and to make themselves unable to be proven wrong by the normal day man of the time. Okay. Whew, this is good stuff. This was done. What's the this? Science has proven your religion is nothing more than random babblings of old men. Okay, this was done to cover their tracks and make themselves unable to be proven wrong by the normal day man of the time. By the normal day man. I'm trying to make this make sense. Hold on. I got to work it. Come on. Be patient with me. This was done to cover their tracks and to make themselves unable to be proven wrong. So random babbling is done so that to prove you can't be proven wrong. That's what it is. That's what random babbling is. Aha! Random babbling. Like maybe not answering questions? Just randomly babble? This was done rambling. I'm going to say the random babbling was done to cover their tracks. People who make Christianity, I guess, and make themselves unable to be proven wrong. So you had to randomly babble. So if there's an officer, he's going to give me a ticket for speeding. Do you know you're speeding? My car's white, and I was looking at a duck, and you know my wife said that I'm nice, and I washed my hair today. Now, you see, that would be random babbling, wouldn't it? The cop would look at me like, you've been drinking? Hey, look, I have a shirt. Okay, get out of the car. What day is it? See, that'd be random babbling. That would get you in trouble. That would not work. Say an officer, random babbling. It can't be proven to be wrong. All right, step out of the officer. I'm stepping out of the car, sir. Okay, I'll step out of the car. I'm stepping out of the car. Look, hey, there's another car over there. Look behind you. And he says, can't be proven wrong by normal day man of the time. Normal day. The normal day. Maybe there was abnormal days. What would an abnormal day be? It's either normal day. What's a non-normal day? So I go home. Hey, honey, guess what? Today was not a normal day. It went twice as fast as regular days. Twice as fast. I was talking like this all the time. It was just twice as fast. Not a normal day. It's not a normal day. And then she'd say to me, blue things. We're random babbling now. Okay. That's not a normal day. A normal day man. Normal day man. A normal day man. What would an abnormal day man look like? I don't know. Hey, look! That's an abnormal day man! Wow! I've never seen anything like it! Compare him to the normal day man. The normal day man. Hey, I'm normal. I'm a normal day man. And then the abnormal day man. That might work like that. I don't know. Let me take a sip of coffee. Finally, it's cooled off. Ooh, it's flavored. Hey, that's pretty good coffee. All right. He says, she made it. That's pretty good. Next time you attempt to persuade and brainwash people who are too So it's not T-O-O. It's just T-O. Next time you attempt to persuade and brainwash people who are too intelligent... who are too unintelligent to know otherwise, maybe you shouldn't be so stupid to think that nobody would stand up to you. Let me try this again. Next time you attempt, so he's talking to me, next time I attempt to persuade and brainwash people. So I think brainwashing means you're persuading them. So I'm persuading them and brainwashing them. Anyway, these people who are too unintelligent to know otherwise. So, he just insulted a whole bunch of people. Because if you like what I say, according to this guy, I've persuaded you, I've brainwashed you, and you are unintelligent. He says, you're unintelligent to know otherwise. To know otherwise what? That you're being brainwashed? Okay. So, he just dissed a whole bunch of people. Okay, too unintelligent to know otherwise, maybe you shouldn't be so stupid to think that nobody would stand up to you. So I shouldn't be so stupid to think that. I should not be so stupid to think that nobody would stand up to you. In other words, I should believe that somebody would stand up to me. Because a double negative, you see, you shouldn't be so stupid to think nobody. Actually, should be no one. But, you know, anyway. He said, stop acting innocent and then having biased reviews. That's what he said. Seriously. Stop acting innocent and then having biased reviews. What if my wife said that to me? Because this is like making no sense to me. I get home. Hey, hon, how you day? How you doing? Stop acting innocent and having biased reviews. I'd be looking at her like, what'd she do, hit her head on something? I don't know. Stop acting innocent and then having biased reviews. I'd be like, oh, man. I'd feel her forehead. Are you okay? You all right? He goes on, it is pathetic. And by the way, in your fifth question, you should really capitalize if. Yeah. I enjoyed that, actually. That was kind of good. Had a lot of good stuff in there. Man. Interesting. Let's see. Let's see. Looking for more hate mail. I'm looking for more. You know, trying to find the good stuff. This has been my second email to you, Matthew. So why not at least reply to me personally? What are you and your organization afraid of? Being proven wrong and made complete fools of? Being proven wrong and being proven wrong and made complete fools of? That's a question mark. Got to raise your voice at the end. No, I know what it is. The reason you continually attack Pastor Murray is you're afraid of him. Well, no, I'm not actually, but that's what he's, you know, I'm not afraid of the guy. He's a heretic. I mean, you know. You and others like yourself get your theology from seminary schools. No, it's not it. No, that's not it. Which is so outdated and pathetic. So that's where I get it from. Outdated, it's pathetic. It's outdated and pathetic. So where should we get our theology now? From TV? Yeah, guys on TV, old crotchety guys on TV. That's it. So maybe if I went on TV, people would listen to me. What do you think? He goes on. Tell me, Matthew, would you have driven away John the Baptist because he hadn't attended seminary? Let me answer the question. No. Now, what I could do, I could answer the question the way the other guy, previous guy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to answer the question the way the other guy was answering the questions. Okay, here's the question. Tell me, Matthew, would you have driven away John the Baptist because he hadn't attended seminary? Hey, I bought carpet today. Okay. Let's see. He goes on. Or St. Matthew or Luke or John? No, I wouldn't have. Okay. And please prove to me there is a rapture by other means than you see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So prove to me. Shit, this is ridiculous. Prove to me the rapture is there, but don't use the Bible that talks about it. Don't use the places where it says it occurs. Jeez. Okay, prove to me the Word became flesh, but don't go to John 1:14 where it says, and the Word became flesh. Don't do that. And please prove to me there is a rapture by other means than using 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay. I've had people say to me, okay, show me that Jesus lived, but don't use the Bible. Why? What? Why should I try that? Why? What? Yeah, don't use the Bible. Okay, it's like saying, okay, folks, I want you to be logical, but don't use logic. Makes sense to me, but don't use logic. Okay? I want you to get on the freeway doing 65 miles an hour, but don't use a car. Don't use a motorcycle either. He goes on. And document this so-called rapture theory outside of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. This is hilarious. documented outside of where it actually says what it says right there. Anyway, because that just doesn't cut it for me. Document this so-called rupture outside of there, because that doesn't... Okay. And actual documentation, please. Oh. Actual documentation. So if I cite a reference, that's not actual documentation. If I were to go to 1 Corinthians 15, you know, twinkling of an eye, maybe that. Maybe I could go to Matthew 13. Anyway, biblical documentation other than 1 Thessalonians. Oh, man. You know, why do people do that? You know, it's like they're just not thinking. Gosh. Okay, here's another one on Wicca. I like this. Despite the fact that you attempt present yourself as an objective Christian website, I find it a flagrantly disingenuous claim, since you lump in Roman Catholicism in the same text line with Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Wicca. It should be and Wicca, not or, because then it doesn't say which one you're doing it. I'm doing it with. Okay. Since I was raised as a Baptist and have been a Roman Catholic for 8 years, I know only too well the protest ant personality cult that passes for pristine Christianity. Ah. You say you have no pope or bishops, yet what else would Billy Graham and the others be, de facto? So Billy Graham's my pope and bishop? Nope. A rose by any other name is still a rose. Okay. I feel like I was raised by cultists, not Christians. You interpret the Bible according to your own lights. No matter how uninformed by credible scholars it happens to be, take no regard for historical context, and adamantly refuse to accept anything by the church fathers, who are a historical fact and were the leaders of the only Christian church for at least 1,500 years until Martin Luther came along. Now, you know, I'm just going to keep reading because we're almost out of time. I'm enjoying it just as it is. 30 seconds? Oh, one more sentence. It was the protesters, which is what you are by your own admission, who took books out of the Old Testament that had always been there. Oh, that is not true. Brainwashed in misinformation. Hey, folks, if you want more of me, well, you can tune in next week. It looks like Monday won't be in the studio, right? Monday, right? Because there's something came up. I won't be in here tomorrow. Something happened, and somebody's going to be gone. And people, anyway, I won't be in on Monday, okay? Some people here at the studio can't make it in. There's an emergency. I don't know what it is. At any rate, hey, if you want to come out to a Bible study I'm teaching tonight, 7:30 tonight, just take the freeway out there. Exit 36, getting off exit 36 in Nampa. Go north, 3/4 mile. Left-hand side is the Crossing Church there in Nampa. 3/4 mile north of the freeway, exit 36, 7:30 tonight. Hope to see you there. God bless. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.